lasting contempt. Now, there is some discussion among brothers of, is this pointing to the resurrection at the end of the age? Or is this pointing to a mini resurrection that took place at the time of Christ? There, even amongst your elders, there's a disagreement on what this is. I believe this is a mini resurrection that takes place at the time of the inauguration of Messiah's kingdom. Remember, we have gone from each kingdom. We were into the Roman Empire yet last week. Now we're moving into Messiah's kingdom. With how was Messiah's kingdom inaugurated?
His resurrection?
No, ascension.
All that's included. Yes, 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 yes. It's all of that. Life, death, burial, resurrection, exaltation, and then the capstone of it all is going to be what? The destruction of Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem. And with the destruction of Jerusalem, you do away with 1,500 years of Jewish economy. You got to understand, you ain't got no temple. You don't have any sacrifice. You don't have no economy. Your economy has been crushed. And with Jesus coming into the world, pointing that he was the true temple, he was the one that was going to do away with sacrifice, that he was going to reign in everlasting righteousness, and that he was going to be the one that would propitiate the sins of his people. He was saying, hey, look, this is all coming to an end. And it's coming into an end because I'm in here. Remember, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, was a messianic prophecy of what God was going to do through the shed blood of the Messiah. When Jesus, and this question came up actually on Wednesday, in Matthew 27, it talks about when Jesus was crucified that there was an earthquake, that the rock split. And at his resurrection, it says that many of the prophets that were in the tombs arose. And they came into the city, and they proclaimed.
I thought they were just regular people. I didn't think
that. No, they were dead people.
No, I mean like...
Those ain't regular.
No, I didn't know that they were just prophets.
Read it. I may have misspoke. Here, let's go there.
I think it says saints.
Saints, okay.
Unsainted ones did not resurrect.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. 27. Yeah, it says saints. I stand corrected. You are correct. The tombs were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, and they entered the holy city and appeared to many. That's how I understand this text.
I don't know how we respond to that if I saw it at that very moment. You know what I mean?
I know how I responded. This is crazy. There's a dead man walking, and he's proclaiming that the man that was on the tree 3 days ago is alive and well. That's what they did. They came in and proclaimed the resurrection. Now, the disagreement is, well, the only resurrection that we see of the dead is either in Jesus raising someone up from the dead or through the apostolic time. There were few. This is speaking of some were raised to everlasting life, others to everlasting contempt. Got to remember, we don't get all the information in the Old Testament when things are being prophesied. We don't get everything. But I will say this. It says many were raised. It didn't say all. So if this is talking about the resurrection at the end of the age, would it not have said all? Not many? Well, it says in the Matthew passage that the saints, many of the saints came in and they proclaimed. So that's how I understand this. Now, does that point to something greater that's going to happen at the end of the age? Sure. When the last trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Dude, we're all going to, in a twinkling of eye, we're going to be made like him. Do I believe that? Yes. But I don't believe that's what that's saying here. Then it says those who, I'm sorry, and others will be raised to everlasting contempt. Sure, there's going to be those that are left in the ground at that final day. They're going to be raised to utter destruction. Got to remember, at the resurrection and the last day, there's going to be those that are going to be raised to everlasting life, and the others that are going to be raised are going to be raised to be judged to everlasting contempt. They don't stay in the ground. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And however you understand that, I believe that the great white throne and the judgment seat of Christ is the same event. It's just portrayed differently in two different passages of Scripture. I believe that we all will be at that throne. There's not going to be some, well, we're going to judge the people of God here, and then, you know, 7 years later, God's going to have the great white throne. I think that's an unbiblical distinction that fits into a system that requires you to have a 7-year delay. It says, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever. To me, plank is clear. It's going to be those who have an understanding of what's going on in those days. They're going to lead people to righteousness. And they're going to be people who are going to be speaking of the truth, and they're going to have insight to what's going on. They're going to have insight to the Spirit of God, and it's working out in that time. And what are those people going to do? They're going to lead other people into righteousness. So, how would this apply to us? Do you want to be a dim bulb for God? Or do you want to be a glowing star? What do you want to be? I want to be a glowing star. I want to help lead people to Christ, lead people to greater righteousness. I don't want to sit on my hands and at the end of the age have people say, man, I wish you would have told me. I wish you could have spoke the truth to me. And it says, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal it up until the end of time. Does anybody else say anything other different at the end of time? Or to the time of the end?
Time of the end.
I think that actually, who said that? I think that actually is better, because when you think of the end of time, what do you think of? What do you think of? The end of time.
Right.
The end of all things. And that's not what this is concerning. This is concerning the end of the Jewish people. Remember, this prophecy was what? Concerning the holy city and your people. So, to the time of the end, I believe, is better translated, because it's speaking of the end of the Jewish economy, the end of the Jewish system, and how Christ's death, burial, resurrection has come in and turned it upside down. And it says, many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. Well, why will the knowledge increase? Because those who shine brightly will have insight. They'll have insight to what's going on. I'll even say this. What would be one of the best things of insight they would have noticed at the time of the coming of the destruction? They'd have heard the words of Christ when he says, when you see the abomination of desolation set up, what do you do?
Run
for the hills. And in Luke's case, because Luke's speaking to Greek people, they really had no understanding of what the abomination of desolation was. That's more of a Jewish understanding. So what does Luke say as he's riding through Theopolis?
You see Jerusalem
surrounded by armies.
Yeah.
What do you do?
You run
to the hills. And what do we know from Eusebius, the church historian who wrote around 325? No Christians were slaughtered in the city. Amazing. They listened to the words of Christ. They left. When they saw it, they did what Christ told them. They were obedient. They had insight. And then it says here, verse 5, I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there were two others standing, one on this side of the bank of the river, and one on the other side of the bank of the river. Now, if you remember what happened, he's at the Tigris. So now, you got another dude standing here and another dude standing here. I don't know if these guys were there the whole time. I mean, this vision obviously took some time. He says, and then I saw two others standing on this side of the, one on this side, one on the other. And he said, and one said to the man dressed in linen, who's hovering over it. He says, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? All right. Who are these two people? Who are these two other men standing there? You remember what took place. When everybody else heard what was going on, what did they do? They left the old man there by the river by himself. I believe these are two other angels. That's what I believe. So there was two, one on the other. They heard this vision. They heard what was taking place. And one said to the one dressed in the linen, who is the one, from my explanation, y'all could disagree, but my explanation, who's this man in the linen?
Jesus. Pre-incarnate.
Pre-incarnate Christ. So now we have two men standing on one side who have heard this vision, Jesus Christ hovering in the air over the river, the Tigris. And it's interesting that Daniel didn't ask this question. Who asked the question? If my understanding is correct, these two angels did. They said, what? They act like Daniel. We don't get it. How long will it be until the end of these wonders? And it, remember, I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, that it says that the angels long to look into the things that God is doing for His people. That they don't understand. They don't understand what God's doing, and that they have longed to want that understanding. And it's not been, God's not granted it to them. They don't understand why God's redeeming man, and he didn't redeem any angels. Remember when the angels fell? Was there any opportunity for the angels to repent? When man fell, what's the opportunity?
Like,
what's that?
It was like a revolution.
Okay. Everybody, revolution. So when the angels fell, they didn't have an opportunity. God said, for your revolting, what did they did he do? He cast them down. Some in chains, others to the earth. Man has an opportunity to be redeemed. He's made a way of salvation for men, but he did not make that for the angels. And the angels have often wondered, look, go read 1 Peter chapter 1. It even talks about how when the prophets prophesied the Spirit of Christ being in them, they didn't really understand what they were saying or when they would take place. And these guys want to know the same thing Daniel knows. They didn't have any understanding. Once again, it brings validity to the one who's exalted, hovering over the river, being the one who knows all things, being two angelic beings who are only limited to what they're told. In many ways, they're like us. They only know what they've been told. And it says, I then heard the man dressed in linens who was above the waters of the river as he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever that it would be, and then we'll get there in just a second. Why'd he raise his right hand? Anybody have any idea?
He swore to heaven.
He swore to heaven. That's right. What were you supposed to do in Deuteronomy?
Raise your right hand.
You raise your right. Hey man, this guy's charismatic. He raised both. He didn't just raise his right hand. He raised both hands and swore by the God of heaven that this is how long it was going to be. He said, it will be for a time. A time. Times meaning two and a half a time. What's the total? Will you add this up?
Three and a half.
Three and a half. He says it will be this long till he's finished shattering the power of the holy people. So how long is the destruction of Jerusalem going to be?
3.5 years.
You know how long the campaign was for Nero and Vespasian that lasted to the destruction of Jerusalem?
About 3.5 years.
Started in 66 with Nero. He sent Vespasian, starting Galilee, and I want you to start just smashing it. That's why it started in Upper Galilee and moved its way down until they got to Jerusalem. Lasted 3.5 years. Now, did the Jewish wars continue on? The animals might start pairing up. did the Jewish wars continue? Yeah, they did. Matter of fact,
so you would have counted the 3.5 years to start in 66 and then end.
Yeah,
the Jewish war
started in 66, and the destruction of Jerusalem was in 70 A.D. Remember, once the capital falls, what happens with any country? Once the capital falls, it's over. Now, what happened was you still had some zealots that went to Masada. And they held up there until 73 A.D.
Were those the people that killed themselves?
Yes. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. We'll get to that. Yeah. So the destruction of Jerusalem happened in 70 A.D. The temple fell. It was toppled to the ground. They began to execute them left and right. Didn't matter. They used, interesting, when we get to Masada, they used Jewish enslaved to build the siege ramps to then destroy the people, or the attempt to kill the people in Masada. It said, so it would be a time and a half till they shatter the holy people and all these events are completed. As for me, I heard, but I did not understand. I love it when Daniel does that. Because as we're reading, we don't know, do we? Daniel has to ask the same things we are, and the pre-incarnate Son of God is so kind to him. He's been giving him revelation through this book, and when he asks, he tells him. He asks him, hey, I don't understand. He says, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are concealed, and seal it up until the end of the time of the end. He's given Daniel clear instructions on what to write, and he says, this is it. And when he wants more information, he says, it's not for you. It's for the time of the end. And it's when you get to the book of Revelation, he tells John, don't seal it up, because the time is at hand. The time is at hand. It will shorten. And the book starts with Revelation as these things will shortly take place. He says, verse 10, many will be purged, purified, refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. Look, he's already given him. It was this time of distress such the world has never seen, and certainly Jerusalem had never seen. It's going to end up doing what? It's going to purge the people. It's going to purify the people, and it's going to refine the people. Hey, that's exactly what happened with Antiochus. When he came in and ran the city for the same amount of time. It's interesting. Antiochus, Epiphanes, ransacked Jerusalem for 3.5 years. The same thing happens.
Wasn't Jesus' earthly ministry also 3.5 years?
About 3.5 years. Yeah, 3.5 years. And I'll talk about why I think that 3.5 sets a trajectory, because we've got some numbers in here. And we'll get to that in just a second. But even after the purged, the purified, and the refined, what does he have there? He's got a conjunction, but the wicked are going to continue to act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. After all of these things, that are going to take place. You're still going to have those who have seen this. God purifies people, who has judged his people. And what are the wicked going to continue to do? They're going to continue to hold their fist against God after he has judged them. And what are they going to do? They're going to continue to go away, and they don't care, and they don't understand.
That just shows the sovereignty of God.
And the hardness of man's heart. Chapter 6, 9, and think 14 or 15 in the book of Revelation, he had got us poured out his judgment on those people, and it says, and they still would not repent. Still would not repent. Still would not repent. God wipes out a third. He wipes out half. Burns up the grass. Chops down all the trees. Scorches them with boils. Scorches them with the heat of the sun. And it says, and they still don't repent. And then, standing right before they're thrown into the lake of fire, they still would not repent.
Now, just
yes,
to be
sir.
Clear, that's for the covenant breakers, right? The Jews?
Right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for those who have... Actually, we got to remember, progressive revelation, this is the point of Christ has come. Under the prophecy, this is prophesied that the Christ was going to come. These people rejected that Christ, and because of they have rejected that Christ, what's God going to do to the city? He's going to destroy it. Okay, this is the prophecy of Daniel concerning Christ. What does Jesus say is going to happen? Because they rejected him. The same thing. He says the same thing. Now, here's where we're going to get to... there is no agreement among nobody on this, okay? So, if you have a study Bible that says they got this figured out, I can tell you right now, it's all speculation. Because nobody knows. So I get to speculate today. Now, this part we do know. From the time of the regular sacrifice, the abomination of desolation is set up. So we do know what the abomination of desolation is. What is it? For those of you that were in here for chapter 8.
It's when the Maccabees?
That connected to that, correct. What did Antiochus do?
He spread the blood of the swine on the...
He come in, he killed the high priest, and he offered a sacrifice to himself, right?
Right.
So... there is one that took place under Antiochus. There will be another that will take place during the Jewish Wars. That's why Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of as the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Two, hey, there's no argument among liberal or conservative theologians of whether the Antiochus Epiphanes did the abomination of desolation prophesied in chapter 8. No, there's no argument. The disagreement is, when does that second one take place? Okay? I say it took place under John Giscala when they came in, they killed the high priest, and he set himself up to be sovereign monarch. Like I said, if you don't believe me, read Josephus. He makes very good clear. And Josephus was not a Christian, okay? He was a Jewish historian. He's just recollecting what took place, okay? As an eyewitness. You understand, regardless of what we think about Josephus, okay? I believe he was an apostate Jew. You're talking about God preserving something almost as old as the New Testament for us to read as a recollection of what took place with the destruction of Jerusalem. That's pretty
important.
Astounding.
I think it's also important that Jesus...
I'm not saying it's authoritative, so don't think I think that Josephus is the 67th book of the Bible. Okay, I want you to understand. It's not. But it is a historical accuracy to what took place of what was prophesied. You know, if we want to know what takes place in history, or if a prophecy has been fulfilled, where's the first place we got to go? You got to go look in history and see if what has taken place fits what was prophesied. Then you start making your deductions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Jesus' words are important there, where he says, "When you see," because you think back, you know, have you not read what? You know, our father said
sure.
to you. You know, so when he says, "When you see," He's talking to a generation.
He's talking to that, and that makes. And I don't have time to get into the linguistic reasons why I believe that the Olivet Discourse was talking about destruction, because he says,
right,
this generation you will see,
right,
and he talks about you, this generation twice. He says that, you know. So he's making. Here's what he says, though. Here's the time frame. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation set up, he says there's going to be
1,290 days.
And then it says, how blessed is he who keeps waiting and to attains to... And he says, but as for you, go your own way to the end, and you will rise again and into the rest, again, to your allotted portion at the end of the age. This is a profound statement. That's all I can tell you about that. That's it. All I know is there are 45-day difference. There is no commentator that knows what he's talking about. I can tell you my opinion, and I'm going to do that. I got 10 minutes. Give you my opinion. The first abomination of desolation and of destruction, it's about 1,260 days. Okay? Follow me?
Yeah.
When you get to the book of Revelation, 1,260 days, 42 months, times, half the time, meaning 3.5 years. Okay? This is a time of purifying, testing, and persecuting the people of God. Okay? That's all I know. I know that because the book of Revelation tells us that, and we have already seen the 1,260 days, times, half the times, already used with Antiochus, where he set up the abomination of desolation then. Okay? This is strictly my opinion. I think what has taken place is to make a distinction between Antiochus's abomination of desolation, which took place in the time of the Maccabees, and to make the distinction between one that took place in the time of the Jewish wars, it's 1,290 days. From the time that John Giscala entered the temple and the temple was overthrown was just a little bit over 3.5 years. That's the only conclusion I can come to. I'm not saying mine's right. I'm giving you my opinion like every other commentator. Okay? I'm not willing to die on that hill. I don't know. But he does say this. But blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. So we know that whoever... Remember, this is a time of destruction. Whoever makes it past this date, what does it say?
They'll survive.
Blessed.
What's that?
Blessed.
They'll be blessed. I think this is referring to here. It's my opinion.
But that was just one little kid.
What's that?
It sounded like that's just one little kid that survived.
And his mama.
Oh, and his mom too?
But what happens is the destruction that led from leaving Jerusalem all the way to Masada was absolutely horrible. Dude, they crucified them. They were running out of wood as they crucified the insurrectionists and Jews as they went out there. They were crucifying two at a time on a stipe. You know the stipe? Stick, then the cross beam. They put one on either side of that stipe, and they were crucifying them two at a time because they were running out of wood. They were enslaving everybody. When they made their way to Masada, this was the last holdup, and it was over then. Okay? It was over. Their last holdup, they held up there for roughly 2 years, 70, 71 to 73. They did. It was the Zealots. They all got up there. Like 90 something of them. If y'all could ever go to Jerusalem and you can and go out there, that place is absolutely breathtaking. It's up. It's way up on this top of this mountain. It's been carved out of the mountain, a lot like Herodium was. And you can go in there and you can see all where they lived and how they held up. And you can remember it was also
close
a fortress
to the Dead
for
Sea, right?
Huh?
It was it's close to the Dead Sea.
Yes, it is. Yeah, very arid. And we hiked up there. It's cool. And you can go up there. You can see where they found everybody. They even have it marked out based on Tacitus and some of Josephus' writings. They have it marked out where you're looking down from Masada, where they had the engines. That's what the catapults were called. Where they had the catapults where they were launching the gigantic 100-pound stones in there trying to bust it through. They got marked off where everything was at the time based on the writings of those historical events. So they get there. They all kill themselves except for the little boy and his mom. They find them. They hid. That's how they find out what took place up on that. That's my opinion. I'm not willing to die on this. I'm just trying to make it like any other commentator. Well, why has he made a distinction between a 1290 and a 260? Because there's two abominations of desolation. Prophecy may be trying to make a distinction so you understand that there's two, not one. And every commentator believes that there is two. It's just when does it take place?
Where in Scripture does it say that there's two?
One, you go back to Daniel chapter 7 and Jesus. One takes place under the Roman Empire and one takes place under the Greek Empire. Now, that was not the end of the Jewish people. In 132, a man by the name of Bar Kokhba decided he was going to go back into Judea and set up another, basically, Judean city. This happened. This is another revolt that took place from 132 to about. It's interesting how they all last about 3 years. 35. He goes, tries to overthrow Rome again. Hadrian, who is the emperor at this point, he goes in. He kills everybody. Literally, he kills everybody. And this happens in 135. He ends the revolt. He burns the city and salts the land. Jerusalem is not inhabited for hundreds and hundreds of years after that. So, I was not looking forward to ending Daniel on that note. But that leaves us kind of on a cliffhanger. That's the way the book ends. Do we know exactly what the 1290 days are? Nope. Do we know what the 1335 days are exactly? Nope. All I can do is give you my opinion. I'm not much on giving you my opinion, but we have no exegetical analogous of Scripture to go back to. We have nothing in Scripture to go back and go, okay, can we connect this 1290 to something other that somebody said? We don't. The 1335 days, do we have somewhere else in Scripture we can go back and compare it with? We don't. That's why I tell you, whoever commentator you read to try to go figure out what this is, it's all speculation. Nobody knows. So I have just tried to make a connection with events.
So basically,
and I could be wrong. So hey, just because I teach something with confidence, I don't think I'm being arrogant. Don't think I could be wrong. Okay, this I'm not willing to die on this hill. Okay? The abomination of desolation, I'm willing to die on that hill. Those are events that actually took place that we can point to in history. Okay? But the accuracy of the 1290 and the 1335, I ain't willing to die on that. You can say I'm wrong. That's fine. We can still be friends.
So with.
But
like,
if you say Jesus didn't raise from the grave, we can't be friends. Okay, so we disagree about this. What's that?
We wouldn't be long here anyway. So like, there's no questioning that the old Jews from like before Jesus, like during the time of Daniel, like
the intertestamental time, from Dan to the intertestamental time,
like they didn't believe that there was an end of the world.
Yeah, they did. They believed at some point it was all coming to an end. The end of the Jewish world would have been the destruction of Jerusalem.
But I guess that's my, I guess to my point is that they were thinking it was the destruction of their own people. They weren't thinking like premillennials think that it's the end.
Let me tell you something. If a nuclear bomb hit here today and blew up our country and we dissolved into nothing, would you not think that's the end of the world? Okay, that's how we need to think of them.
Okay.
That's how we need to think about it. One, they saw themselves as God's chosen people. They saw them as ones who had the oracles of God, the ones whom God had restored, and God did restore them. God promised a restoration into the land at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. You know what God does not promise them here? When this destruction comes, that was prophesied in Daniel's 77s, this destruction, you know what he does not promise them? They ain't coming back in the land. It's over. And he said it a number of weeks ago. They were connected very much to the land. The land becomes irrelevant at that point. When Jesus comes, the land's irrelevant. Why? Because the people of God are going to get new heavens and a new earth. It's not about a piece of land in Palestine anymore. It's bigger than that. I believe Abraham knew that. Because Abraham, God told him, hey, you're not only going to be the heir of the promised land, but dude, you're going to be the heir of the whole world. And if you read, I think it's in Romans 4 or 5, it says that God told Abraham that it was the world he would inherit. And his descendants would inherit the world.
But that's, I guess that's to my point was, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, dispensationalists believe that it's ultimately destruction of the world that Jesus was talking about.
And you know what dictates that? Their system. And I hold that thought. We got to go. Somebody else more important than me needs to preach. Okay? So, hold that thought, and we're going to do a summary of the book next week. Take any questions. Try to clarify anything that I can that may be unclear. So just hold that thought till next week. Andy, would you close us out?
Yeah. Our Father, again, thank you for the time we have. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your revealing to us what you have, what you've been pleased to reveal now. Be with us, Lord, as we continue to worship you in spirit and truth. Be with our brothers and preachers. And may all this be done to the glory of God in Christ Jesus.